Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host Jim Hobgood and our always reliable research analyst Michael Tusky. Good to have the bye week behind us now. Wahoo football team is a respectable 3-2 and about where most people expected them to be at this point in the season. But now they're preparing for a big home game, Hobbo. Georgia Tech this Saturday, Scott Stadium, 3:30 kickoff. ESPNU national game, basically for us.
Sunny and 69 degrees, too. Perfect weather.
So they say. Yeah. I can't wait. We're going to review UVA's preparations and hopes for this big game, and we're glad that you've joined us.
Well, that is indeed the case. This is Jim, otherwise known as Hobbo. We have an exciting show lined up for you tonight, which was put together by my co-host Frank Maloney. Did a terrific job. I was actually out of the loop for a couple of days here, but we have seated to my left Billy McMullen, former Virginia star and NFL star as well. He'll be breaking down the Virginia football team as we go into the big weekend of action against the Yellow Jackets. We're going to have maybe a cameo visit by Chris Horn just to update everybody on the recruiting situation. Dr. Gordy Rawls of Ortho Virginia will give us the injury report in the second half hour. And then we will be joined by Virginia assistant basketball coach and local Richmond product from John Marshall High School, Jason Williford, as this is October 12th. Basketball practice officially begins on Friday the 14th.
Well,
and now there are several ways to follow who's talking, and Michael Tusky will tell you about that right now.
We encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go on to Facebook, just search for Who's Talking, and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
In fact, as regards to Facebook, I will be catching up with all of our fans there on Facebook between now and Sunday night. So please share all your thoughts. Now that the ACC season has begun with this weekend's game, I expect there'll be a lot more feedback, and we will have a contest or two with some exciting prizes. So if you haven't joined Facebook as a fan of Who's Talking, please do so.
All right, Frank, as Frank indicated earlier, big game against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is a really, really good football team, 6-0, first time I think I saw since 1966. Al Groh returns to Scott Stadium on Saturday afternoon,
boom.
So a little side story there. So Billy, what can we expect on Saturday afternoon at 3:30?
I know for Al Groh, it's going to be a good game for him, meaning he's getting pretty pumped up, getting the guys pumped up for this game because I guess the way we let Al Groh go, he's a little perturbed about that. But I think our guys will be ready for the game, and I think we'll have a good showing.
Well, you know, I think that was very diplomatic of Billy. Might want to look into diplomatic affairs. And
I must admit, you know, this is radio, but he looks like he's ready to interview for a Rhodes Scholarship. You know, I mean, we have student athletes at Virginia, just very handsome, businesslike, well-spoken. This is a diplomat for UVA football right here.
Well, let's dig down a little deeper here on this game and get down to brass tacks. I did watch a replay of the Georgia Tech-Maryland game last night on Comcast Sportsnet.
You really don't have a life, do you?
I was preparing for this show, Mr. Hobgood.
Oh, the show, that's right.
And I thought it might be wise to scout out their opponents. We do play Maryland later in the season.
That's absolutely true.
Just when the game looked like he was about to get away from Maryland, some strange things started happening. The Maryland coach took out their quarterback, who was the freshman quarterback of the year last year for the ACC. They took out O'Brien. They brought in this other player who looks to me like one of the fastest men that have ever played quarterback. He could flat run. Anyhow, Georgia Tech's offense got bogged down the second half and looked really pedestrian. And next thing you know, Maryland has got the football with about 3.5 minutes to go, approaching midfield. And somehow the score was 21-16, and I was thinking, how could this be? And I'm pretty certain Paul Johnson, the coach for Georgia Tech, felt the same way. But enough about that. Billy, looking at this crazy triple option that Georgia Tech runs, Virginia's had 2 weeks to get ready. Is that enough time for Coach Reed and Coach London to get the defense squared away so that they could defend this crazy option the Tech runs?
Well, I think it is enough time to get prepared for it and get aware of what they're trying to do. And I know Coach London and Coach Reed have the guys reading their keys correctly. It's just a different thing when you used to covering spread offenses and pro offenses, and then you get into a triple option. You know, that's a way of life for those guys. You have to be able to study that on a regular basis and also play against that type of speed. When you hit the game, you're going to see there's a different speed on that option and a different reads than what you saw in practice. So, but I have faith in the coaching staff and also the players that we're going to get it done.
You know, sometimes the best defense is a good offense. That was always my theory in basketball. That's how I explained not playing any defense, you know. You know, if you didn't play any defense, you got the ball back that much faster. Yeah, you know, they scored, you know, but at any rate, that's another story for another season. But talk to me a little bit about the Virginia offense. We talked earlier about the quarterback situation, the rotation of the quarterbacks. And against a Georgia Tech, do you tweak your offense at all to sort of get into a ball control offense situation?
I think Coach London's in a situation right now. He's trying to find the hot hand. I've never been a favorite of switching in quarterbacks in and out. From a receiver's perspective, is a little different spin on different quarterbacks' passes. And I can tell the young guy Watford, he has a stronger arm than Rocco. Rocco can manage the game a little better right now, of course, because he's an older veteran of the football in college football, but definitely I'm not a big fan of switching it out, but I can understand what London is doing.
Just a quick follow-up question there. You know, right. A big thing about receiving and quarterback is timing.
Right.
How is the timing affected when you have different quarterbacks and you talk about they throw the ball differently?
Well, I'm sure that both of those guys are getting splitting time with the first team. So as a receiver, you just have to adjust to it. There is a different velocity on the ball when you have a stronger arm quarterback or normal arm quarterback. So it's up to the guys like Chris Byrd and the other guys to get adjusted to it. It's just something you have to do, and that's when you become a true playmaker that nobody, no matter who's behind that offensive line, that you'll make a play. So,
all right, let's talk a little bit about the scenario Virginia faces. They're sitting at a respectable 3-2 in the conference.
3-2 overall, not in the conference.
3-2 overall, yeah. And 0-1 in conference. They lost a tough game down at Carolina, but they drove well against Carolina. Looking at the replay of that game last night, Maryland, in spite of the fact they couldn't throw the ball a lick, I think they had more interceptions than completions, which is unbelievable. They still had a chance to win the game. I fully expect both Rocco and Watford to be more efficient than that. Particularly playing at home, what positives might be takeaways for Virginia fans in hopes that an upset is possible?
I think the fans can look forward to that our team is going to come out a little more energized and a little more sense of urgency than last 2 weeks against Idaho. This is a big-time team they're playing against. This is not a pushover like they thought Idaho would be. And the guys, whoever's behind the quarterback, And what I like is both guys does have a lot of confidence back there. They do,
yes.
They do have confidence back there. They just have to find their rhythm and their flow. And as the quarterback goes, normally that's how the team goes. So I think the fans have a lot to look forward to.
Let me just ask a question about the triple option. I think the one thing that might give Virginia a chance is there's at least the possibility of some turnovers in there, particularly if you can get penetration from your defensive line, maybe force an early pitch or something like that. So I think that could be key to the game if we can force some turnovers, get some short fields and early possessions.
With the triple option, you have to maintain your keys. You can't play outside of yourself. Because once you play outside of yourself, you got 70-yard runs, 80-yard runs.
So if you gamble, you could have a problem.
You can have a problem. So it's a double-edged sword, but you have to gamble sometimes because with a team like Georgia Tech, they'll just grind out the clock. So you have to take some chances in there.
All right, back to offense because the man seated to my right knows offense inside and out. All right. Chris Byrd is their possession receiver from Etowicoke High School, and he's moving up the receiving ranks in UVA history. I don't think he can catch your statistics for catches or yardage, but nonetheless, he's clearly firmly embedded in the top 10 and climbing. I think he's moving up to 7, 6, somewhere in there. Michael Tuskey?
5, I think.
5, maybe 5 now. You've got Tim Smith is supposed to be lending some more deep threat speed. Mm-hmm. So maybe one of the things that, that Coach London and Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator, have got to think about maybe is do we take some shots downfield to try to catch Georgia Tech sneaking up to guard against the run? Because you know we're going to try to establish the run with Kevin Parks back in the lineup and Perry Jones running beautifully in the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And Clifton Richardson running well as well. So isn't that sort of a dangerous? Because if we're trying to keep time of possession,
right.
to keep the ball away from Georgia Tech, wouldn't that be an advantage?
Now, once again, that's what I was talking about, the double-edged sword. Yeah, on offense also, you have to take shots. This is the receiver speaking to me. When I see a team that's taking 5-yard, 15-yard passes down the field, the receiver in me says, hey, we need to take 2 or 3 shots a game to open up. To me, it opens up the whole offense. The defense gets a chance to see that my quarterback has arm. We have potential to catch deep passes on you. Now you have to really respect that, and that opens up everything else in that offense.
So, in that regard, which quarterback is the better thrower of a deep ball?
I think the young guy is right now. The young guy. And right now, he still has a lot of mechanics things he has to work on. But as far as arm strength, I think he does. But he's a lot more inconsistent than Rocco is. I've seen Rocco throw some pretty passes against William and Mary. But from my evaluation, I think the young guy has a better deep ball right now.
Well, it's interesting to me. I think clearly Darius Jennings, Dominique Terrell, and Tim Smith are our best true deep threats. For some reason, they've been trying to throw the ball to Chris Byrd going deep, and I think that's been a mistake because the men on him can clearly run fast enough to cover that. At the same token, it looks like maybe Coulter Phillips, our tight end, is getting healthy again, and maybe he can burn the opponent going up the field some.
With Chris Byrd, too, it's all about timing.
Okay.
I wasn't a burner. I wasn't a 4-2, 4-3 guy. So, you know, Matt Schaub and Bryson Spinner always told them, hey, just give me a chance.
Yes.
I don't have to outrun these guys. So, same instance with Chris Byrd. He has to get on the same page with his quarterbacks when they do switch up. Let them know that if we're going deep, just give me a chance to make a play, you know?
You know, I was a 4-2 guy, but it was the 10-yard dash, not the 40.
I was going to say, to the Gatorade cooler, maybe. You know the funny thing, and we've got about a minute or so before we go to our first break, guys. It seems to me that this is an excellent trap game opportunity for Virginia. Georgia Tech has never had this kind of prosperity in decades. You know they've got to be very pleased with themselves. However, they're showing an unusual trend in that they're not racking up as many points in the second half in their last two games. They're sort of sitting on a lead and playing it even more conservatively than usual. And one thing Maryland exposed is they took away the pitch man and sort of encouraged Georgia Tech's quarterback, Tevin Washington, to try to take it, and then they were trying to drill him hard with some hard hits. Looking at Virginia's offense, clearly Rocco tries to manage the game more in the pocket, but Watford tries to roll out some and gives us the edge.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen this week? And this is clearly subjective. What's going to happen with the quarterback rotation?
I think it's going to start off like it normally does.
Okay.
Rocco will come in and manage the game. Then Watford will come in 2 or 3 series. But for the most part, I think Rocco is going to take the lead this week.
All right.
We're going to go to our first break. When we return, Billy McMullen will still be with us, and we're also going to be joined by Chris Horn to get an update on the recruiting. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, Billy McMullen, Michael Tuskey, and even Linda Hobgood's in the studio tonight. So we've got a crowd here. But anyway, we're going to have Chris Horn here momentarily. I think we may have Chris on the line right now. Chris, are you with us? Chris Horn.
I am. I'm here.
Well, terrific. All right, Frank wants to ask you some questions about football recruiting.
Sounds good.
Christopher, thanks for joining us again tonight. Just want to touch on some of the things that you and I were chatting back and forth about this week. Any news on the 24 football recruits for the class of 2012?
At this point, it's kind of in terms of the class of 2012, it is kind of just a waiting game, which certainly will happen when you have 22 guys already committed before the fall. But in terms of this weekend, Virginia will host one of its remaining targets in Nathan Staub, who's a fullback linebacker out of Buford High School in Buford, Georgia. Virginia already has a commitment out of that school from C.J. Moore, who's a extremely fast cornerback prospect who's also going to be in Charlottesville this weekend. But Nathan is also considering North Carolina and Cal and Harvard, and Virginia certainly is very much on his list, and Virginia wants him as a fullback, which certainly could be a position that Virginia could use some immediate help. So he's certainly the guy to, as far as this weekend is concerned, in terms of this weekend's visitors, a name to look out for.
All right, we're speaking with Chris Horn of the Saber. Chris, talk about Grayson Lambert, and do you see him potentially coming and enrolling at Virginia, say, mid-year, assuming he does get that offer?
Right, yeah, that is his plan. At the time when he committed to Virginia, that was his plan from the start. So that's, as far as I know, that's kind of continuing to be the plan. And it certainly gives Virginia, looking towards next season, another tool to work with Grayson coming in. He'll be able to get the experience of spring practice, just like David Watford did this past year. And it certainly will be interesting to follow his development over the course of the spring and into preseason practice. And I know with David Watford, there's a lot of growth just from that spring practice experience. And Grayson certainly has all the tools, and just kind of that added experience should help him certainly in terms of possibly competing for the starting job next year, depending on, you know, how things shake out with the current guys, of course.
Chris, Billy McMullen is with us in studio, and I know he has some questions about the three local players, Andre Miles Redmond, Terrell Chavis, and Maurice Kennedy.
Well, yeah, I see these guys are from, most of them from Verona, and I know they're pretty tough guys if they're coming from Verona. Do you see any aspirations of any guys playing early next year?
Well, I think in terms of we'll start with Andre Miles Redmond, who's a guy who I think has the talent to do that. But, you know, certainly with offensive linemen, the ideal scenario, unless it's a situation maybe like a Kelby Johnson who came in already seemingly ready to play and physically ready to go. You know, I think Andre especially is a guy who can use a redshirt year to play. There is some talk about possibly playing him at defensive tackle, which he could be maybe more ready to do that. But I see him initially as an offensive guy. Tyrell Chavis is a player who I think could contribute right away. I think he's got that talent and that ability. He's just a nasty player just when you watch him play. But in terms of there's a possibility that he may have to go to Fort Kenyon before going to Virginia. So obviously we'll see what happens there. But in terms of looking ahead, if he does go to Fort Kenyon and getting that experience under John Schumann, he could be ready to play come the following season. And then Maurice Kennedy is a guy who, with a lot of speed, he projects as a wide receiver or cornerback. So, you know, we'll see how things shake out with him. But he's a guy who could use a redshirt year to add some strength and add some weight. But a guy with a lot of speed, and if he does play wide receiver, that's a position where, you know, he certainly could come in and maybe earn some early playing time.
All right, Chris, one last question before we let you go here with the break coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Basketball recruiting, we do have Coach Jason Williford joining us in just a few minutes. Any thoughts on the four young men, and don't they get an opportunity to go ahead and sign in November, if I'm not mistaken?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they do. They can. There's an early signing period in basketball, which does take place in November. And as far as I know, I know with Justin Anderson, I know he attends Montrose Christian, which traditionally I believe they sign in the spring, but we'll see what happens with him. But as far as the Tevin Jones, point guard, Evan Nolte, who's a small forward type, as well as Mike Toby, who's a power forward center, they all plan on signing next month. And they actually all four will be in Charlottesville this weekend making their official visits. Obviously, they'll have an opportunity to check out the team practicing and get to know their future teammates. So it should be pretty exciting as far as basketball is concerned to get next year's crop in there to kind of mix in with the current team. And anxious to get a few comments in terms of how those guys kind of envision the program next year and maybe what their roles may be next season.
Yeah, I think Tony Bennett has it starting to roll. But at any rate, Chris, we appreciate your taking a few minutes tonight. We'll have you back on soon. So thanks for your time, as always.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Chris Horn of the Saber. We're going to go to our bottom of the hour break, come back with Dr. Rawls, and we also need to get a comment from Billy McMullen about what's going to happen on Saturday afternoon. So stay with us. We'll be back after these messages.